White Rocket Entertainment.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 283.
A miracle in Jordan Hare! A miracle in Jordan Hare!
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we're back. We've been away for a while. We've been doing other things. We just got through like 5 minutes ago doing a big Game of Thrones podcast. But we've got to get a wishbone in because the folks out there, the natives, are getting restless. They're wanting to know that we still exist, right? We're still doing football talk. We still have a football show. And so we are back to do an off-season how things are going at this point show. So how do you feel about the Auburn Tigers tackle football program as of July 24th evening, John?
I feel good. I mean, I feel there's a lot of positive momentum. There's a lot of positive energy heading into the season. You know, there's some hype, but there's not like over-the-top insane hype. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's like recognition that Auburn has a lot of talent and is going to be a good team, but there's not like a lot of predictions that Auburn's going to win the national title.
You know what this feels like? Last year, not last year, but 2015 in retrospect feels a lot like 2003. And this year feels a lot like 2004. Now, I'm not saying in terms of result because we don't know yet. But remember in 2003, we were like, we're going to win the national championship. It's a done deal. It's all over. We're winning the national championship. We've got Cadillac and Ronnie, and it's, you know, wow, we're just awesome. And then it didn't work out too well. 2004, Auburn people are like, oh, don't predict anything. I mean, I feel pretty good, but oh, don't say anything, right? Keep your expectations low, you know. And that's exactly how Auburn people sound today. This is like 2004 preseason all over again. Now, will it have a similar outcome? Who knows? But in terms of how, you know, people are talking right now, it is remarkably 2004. What do you think?
I think that's a fair analogy. I mean, and I think Auburn people overdo the anytime there's anything positive said about us, we have a terrible season thing. I think that's very much a reaction to 2015. This is like a, you know, that's the most recent thing in anybody's mind. So anytime anybody says anything good about Auburn or its quarterbacks, everybody's like, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. We're going to, you know, so I think it's very much a recency bias in that. I mean, I think Auburn was, you know, much better on defense last year. And when I went back and looked at the numbers, they were better than I remembered. And wow. Especially the advanced stats, Auburn's defense was excellent last year. And the problem was we just didn't get consistent quarterback play.
Right.
Some of it was depth, and some of it was talent, and some of it was coaching and offensive game plan decisions. But, you know, all those things have changed because we have more depth and more talent, and we have a different offensive coordinator. So I feel... You know, and we've discovered last year that with the offensive line running backs we had, we can really run the ball well. And if we just add a little bit of passing game, it doesn't have to be, you know, the greatest passing game in the history of the football, but a good passing game, our offense is going to be really, really, really hard to stop. And I think our defense is still going to be solid. So I think this team is going to be, you know, in every game, competitive, and with a position to win a lot of games this year.
Yeah, no, I agree.
We have a great kicker.
Yeah, I was gonna say our special teams,
close games, SEC games, you feel pretty good.
Yeah, the thing about the great kicker the last couple of years has been we could get 3 points in the second quarter instead of zero if we couldn't get seven. But when you have a great kicker, being able to get three instead of zero in the middle of the second quarter is nice. It lets you go 8-5 instead of 6-6, you know, or whatever. When you have a really good team, having a kicker like that, wins games at the end and lets you go 11-1 or 10-2 instead of 8-5. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that this year, instead of being the entire scoring offense, he will be the difference maker as a kicker.
That's right.
Right. It's a different role. It's a different role. It's more like the role that Wes Byram played in 2010, for example,
mm-hmm.
where you have everything else clicking, and then you know you can depend on your kicker when you need him too, rather than saying he's going to score all 18 of our points in this game. That's what I don't want.
On a week-to-week basis, yes.
Right,
he should not lead the team in scoring.
Exactly. He should be the clutch guy. He should be the closer. You don't bring your closer out in the first inning and try to get 9 innings out of him, which is what we did against LSU. We put the closer on the mound in the first inning against LSU, and he pitched 9 innings because he's the freaking Legatron, right? But, what kind of news we did just get word we have a new commitment today. A four-star linebacker, Michael Harris. Where is he from? You say he's from your neck of the woods?
He is from Tucker, Georgia, which is where I am from. It's a suburb of Atlanta on the northeast side near 85 and 285, basically. So I didn't go to Tucker High School. I went to Henderson High School, which, and Tucker was our rival, but my high school was turned into a middle school. So it doesn't, as a high school, it doesn't exist anymore. So if I lived there now, I would have gone to Tucker.
Interesting. Yeah, that's on 85. If you keep going northeast on 85, you get to where I used to live, which is Gwinnett County, Lawrenceville, and Lilburn and Norcross and all that. But that was after you were gone. We lived in northeast Atlanta in different eras. you were gone by the time I got there for my run. So we got a four-star linebacker. So our I'm going to click on this for a second and see if it'll show us the current commitment list, which is pretty – it's starting to come together a little bit more. They don't have it on here, but he's the number 11 inside linebacker in the country, a four-star linebacker. Oh, yeah, he's the 10th commitment for this class, so it's starting to pick up a little bit. It seemed like we had 3 or something forever, you know. But he's the number 10 commitment in this class that also has a good quarterback, a good running back. And the last prediction, crystal ball thing I looked at, they claimed Justin Fields would pick Auburn. I don't know that I'm convinced Justin Fields is coming our way, but we'll see what happens, especially since we've already got, our
future Heisman winner, Joey Gatewood.
Future Heisman winner, Joey Gatewood, exactly. But but it would be nice to have both of them coming in, so we'll see. I like that the headline on AL.com Auburn football page right now is Gerald Stidham, the favorite at quarterback entering camp. Did you know we have a new quarterback apparently named Gerald Stidham?
Is that his twin brother?
I was like, maybe it's his brother. Maybe his brother enrolled while we weren't looking. God, bless AL.com. Ever since my friend Joe Crow was laid off in their reductions there, copy editing has gone to crap at AL.com. They don't do a lot of copy editing on their. They just stick anything up there pretty much. I mean, Gerald Stidham is the favorite at quarterback entering camp. So good luck to Gerald. I hope he and Jarrett both do very well at quarterback. Good Lord, AL.
We have more depth than I thought.
Exactly. We got multiple Stidhams.
Maybe the wrong one transferred.
Yeah. And then below that, Sean White working hard, ready to compete for Auburn quarterbacking job. So that's cool. Well, it is awfully nice, though, to have both. Now, I don't want to talk about Hugh Freeze, really. There's plenty of shows out there that are going to talk a lot about that. But there is an interesting headline here from Kevin Skarbinski, who specializes in interesting headlines, right? He is Captain Clickbait. The headline is, how long before Nick Saban or Gus Malzahn hires Hugh Freeze? How long, John? How long? I think it's more likely Gus would, right? Or does Hugh Freeze qualify for the Nick Saban Pac-12
analyst rehabilitation program.
Yeah, Pac-12 analyst rehabilitation program. If Ole Miss was a Pac-12 school, it'd be a lock, wouldn't it?
I think either one of those schools could hire him as an analyst like 3 months from now.
Wow. Well,
so I'm going to say October, end of October, Halloween. He signs with one of those schools.
Interesting. Okay. If he goes to Alabama, he'll be an analyst for a couple of years, and then he'll be their offensive coordinator when the current guy goes on to whatever NFL job or whatever. But if he comes to Auburn, I don't see him being our offensive coordinator. I do see them firing Gus. I can see the people that don't like Gus saying fire Gus and promote him.
Oh, good gosh, no. But the other part is, before anybody hires him, you have to see what happens a little bit with the NCAA case, because he may get slapped with the show cause where he can't work in college football.
That's an excellent point, the dreaded show cause, yeah. Okay, so SEC Media Circus Dragon Con for Bammers Days went by a couple of weeks ago, and we haven't had a show since then. What did you think about how it all came out? I know that our guys went there and represented as well, and I love the fact that Daniel Carlson was standing next to all SEC offensive lineman Braden Smith, and Daniel Carlson is bigger than an offensive lineman. He's huge. No wonder he can kick the ball 3 miles. He's bigger than an offensive lineman. He's taller and just about as wide as Braden.
I think Braden could break him over his leg, but
you better look at pictures of them standing next to each other and think it twice before you say that.
He's a tall guy, a bigger guy, but he's a kicker. I think SEC Media Days went very well. There was no big crisis, scandal, problems, and the Auburn players represented Auburn very well. I was happy to see that. And Auburn was picked to finish second in the West and second overall in the whole conference. I was happy about that. It was a good chance for those guys who don't get a lot of spotlight to shine. It made sense for Gus not to bring a quarterback because there is still a quarterback competition going on. So, I thought that was smart. So,
my favorite. Go ahead.
And they like seniors. I mean, they've shown this time and again. They're going to bring seniors, and not Petway's a junior and stuff. So I think
Right. My favorite thing about the voting for the team from the East, team from the West, champion, whatever. Did you notice this? I didn't see anybody say anything about it. I just noticed it when they showed the ballot or whatever. They've added a new rule. They should call this the Auburn rule because of what happened a couple of years ago. They've added a new rule that says when you write down your conference winner, it says your vote for conference winner must be one of the two teams you voted for the division winner. It kind of goes without saying, and yet clearly it didn't go without saying because people were doing that. Remember how we got picked to win?
Sure. Oh, yeah. We got picked to win but not win the West.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, that was pretty funny. So they've actually changed the rules now because of that. Anything else out of Media Days that I missed? I know that Nick Saban said that he respects in the West. Nick Saban respects, I guess, Arkansas, LSU, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State, right? And then he respects some teams in the East, including Vanderbilt and Kentucky.
I didn't pay any attention to anything he said, so I'm okay.
Well, it was just interesting how he was very selective in who he does and doesn't respect. Two players got medical red shirts.
Yes.
Fill us in on that.
Two players who were injured last year got medical red shirts. The running back who was going to be that we thought would be the bigger deal running back last year. The one who went to the same school as Kerryon Mass Academy.
Malik Miller,
he got a medical red shirt. And Paul James III, the defensive end, who was a JUCO and had 2 years to play, got a medical redshirt, so he still has 2 years to go.
Yeah, so basically that means that Malik Miller is a freshman this year?
He's a redshirt freshman. So.
Okay. So he's got 4 years, pretty much, if he wants it.
Yes. And a medical redshirt doesn't take your real redshirt. So really, Malik Miller is a true freshman in that sense. He has 5 years to play four.
You know, we would have beaten Georgia last year if he hadn't gotten hurt at the beginning of the season.
I agree.
Mm, dang, man. I was hoping you'd say I was crazy, but dang it.
You're not crazy. It's the truth.
Yeah, we needed him. All right, so you had a couple of questions here, and I'll ask them of you, and I'll answer them too, which I think are very interesting questions. You said, which team strength do you feel best about, and which team weakness concerns you the most? So let's take them separately. Well, let me throw out a couple of strengths, and you tell me, or you pick one or throw your own out. I'm going to say the things that we have as a strength are our running game coming back with even more depth, hopefully quarterback depth, assuming that Stidham is more or less as advertised, and players on the offensive line. Now, I didn't say offensive line, but I say players that can be an offensive line. Let's look at the offense first. Okay. So if our strength on offense is depth, quality depth at running back, potential depth at quarterback, and players to make an offensive line, talking about team strengths, how do you see those three things?
I mean, to me, the team's strength on offense is the running game.
Okay.
So and I put you know, the running backs and the offensive linemen that we have, the starters and the depth, and the, you know, the other players, the fullbacks and tight ends and stuff, all of that together, I think we can run the ball.
Yeah.
You know, with Kerryon fully healthy, with Pettway fully healthy, with the offensive line we have, we will be able to run the ball on people. And so to me, that's a team strength. Like maybe against Clemson and Alabama we'll have problems. Against everybody else, we should be able to run the ball without a lot of problems.
Well, let me elaborate on that then. I've gone back and watched a lot of last season's games to kind of soak up what we were doing last year and where we could be going this year. And what I saw was we were very effective running the ball, but we were running into the teeth of some pretty stout 8-9-man fronts, it seemed like. I mean, we were getting good rushing yards when there was virtually no danger at times of a passing threat. The defenses were not backing off. Pettway was just bull rushing his way through like 9 guys. So I'm thinking, if we have any kind of a threat to throw over their heads with Stidham, Pettway is going to get twice as many yards as he got last year because he's going to be running through holes instead of pushing people along as he runs. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's
100%. So no, I agree. Like, if we could throw the ball, not like really well, but just decently, consistently, when teams are coming up and stacking the box, we can make them pay on a regular basis and pick up some third and fives throwing the ball.
Yeah.
When teams are in, like a 8-man front, it's going to make it so easy for Pettway.
Oh man!
I mean, especially like. A lot of the plays that we're going to run with Lindsay are these run-pass option things where even when we throw the ball, the offensive line's going to come off like we're running and Pettway's going to come off like we're running. And, the quarterback's going to Stidham is going to act like he's handing Pettway the ball and then he's going to throw it. So if you do that a couple times, then when you hand him the ball, the defense can't be up there on top of the receivers with the safeties coming up to the line of scrimmage every time because you're going to make them pay because they don't know when it's a run and when it's a pass. So I really think, over time, that's really going to open things up for Pettway and make it better.
So, excuse me. So let's then look at the weaknesses that we see on offense. I'm going to, again, I'll throw out a couple of things and you break that down. I'm going to say that our weaknesses on offense will be, well, one is the offensive line has to come together. I've paid a lot of attention to Cole Kublik. I like a lot of the guys. I love Barrett Salee and all them. But I think that Cole Kublik does the best job of the guys I see on video and listen to and everything of breaking down in a way that I can understand it. Stuff like offensive and defensive line play. I mean, he is very good at laying that stuff out. He could be a good coach if he went into it, but he's very good as a television and radio guy. he's talked a lot about how we've got good offensive line pieces, but you don't know how it's all going to come together, right? Because we've got seven or eight, you know, starters basically right now. And we got to figure out who the five are going to be and what position they're going to play. Because are we moving Braden Smith? Are we going to keep Golson at center? You know, I mean, there's a lot of question marks. Are we going to bring the new Florida State guy in and plug him in instead of one of the guys we already had?
Yes.
So, okay. So there's a lot of, in other words, it's got to do the fabled gelling, right? The fabled
yes.
gelling has to happen. Okay, well, the other weakness I want to throw at you then is would be receiver. I don't know that it's a weakness in terms of the players. It's that they're young and they didn't get a lot of practice last year, let's just say. There were long stretches last season where being a receiver on our team, you didn't get a lot of practice being a receiver. So, you know, it's like being a Formula One driver and there's no gas in the on the track to run anywhere.
And our best receiver missed spring practice.
That's right. So what do you make of our weaknesses in terms of the offensive line gelling, getting these new tight ends to up to speed, and having a bunch of basically still rookies at wide receiver pretty much?
I'm not so worried about wide receivers. I think the talent is there. And I think the problem last year was just delivering the ball to them on time and on target consistently. And I think we'll be better at that. In terms of the offensive line piece, the thing that worries me is pass protection.
Yeah.
If we throw the ball more, we have to pass block more. And pass blocking was a bit of a weakness last year. There was a lot of great defensive ends in the SEC last year. And we played them all. And there was a challenge week to week. But, I mean, there's a lot of those guys are gone. You know, Miles Garrett's gone. Now, Jonathan Allen and the other guys in Alabama that were the great pass rushers in that team are gone. And some of the other, are gone. But some guys are still there. Arden Key is still there. So, when you throw the ball more often, you have to pass block. And so, if Braden Smith and James are the two tackles, they're going to have to be better at pass blocking than they were last year. That's one thing I'm a little worried about.
When the season is done, which receiver do you think will end up being our leading receiver this year?
That's a good question. In yards or catches? I think it may be two different people.
All right, well, let's do yards. Three-name guy?
Nate Craigmeyer's.
I can't ever think of his names.
No, I thought Nate. I was going back and forth between he and Kyle Davis. And
Kyle Davis, right. I think Kyle Davis will have more catches and Nate Craigmeyer will have more yards. They're kind of like Nate Craigmeyer is maybe going to be more the Terrell Zachary and yes. Kyle Davis will be more like the Courtney Taylor.
Yes.
All right. Look at that. We're on the same page on that.
No, it's good. I think Zachary's a good analogy. Like down the field, big hitter kind of play guy.
We never really used Terrell Zachary as a possession receiver. He was always more the speed guy, going deep, catching the bombs, running reverses, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So, and I think Stove could do some of that. In fact, he already has. And
Stove could be a little Darvin Adams-y too, maybe. So.
Yeah. And of course, well, we got McClain. I mean, we've got the players, if they can just emerge, you know what I mean? If they can get the ball, can get there. And of course, don't forget little BYU dude, as I like to think of him. because BYU used to run four guys like him out there, and they'd run every play with those four little dudes running little curl routes and stuff. I will never forget, listeners will appreciate this, I'll never forget that game where the Miami Hurricanes went to Provo to play Lavelle Edwards and his BYU team with his four wide, little tiny white boy receivers. And they would just go out there and run. They were like little miniature Chris Dorings, right, from Florida. They would just go out there and run little circle and curl routes and everything. And after about five plays, they had all these yards, and the Miami DBs were just standing there gasping for breath in the mountain, the thin atmosphere. That's, I'm not saying the atmosphere thing. I just think that's funny, but I can't ever think of anybody's name, as you know. But he seemed like the possession guy that Stidham very much was in tune with immediately when he got here.
You mean Will the Weapon Hastings or Will Heisman Hastings?
Yes, Will Hastings, exactly.
I mean, I think we have a lot of depth at the receiver, and maybe he makes the field as a slot guy, like a fourth down, third down kind of slot guy, but I think we have a lot of other talented guys, and I'm skeptical he's going to be on the field that much.
Okay, we'll see. He just seems like a favorite target of Stidham. So, let's see. Do we have any listener questions? I dropped the ball this week and was so wrapped up in the whole Game of Thrones thing, I did not ask for listener questions. Mea culpa, mea culpa. Did you have any, or were you rolling on by?
We have a question.
Okay, a question. Woo! Oh, and I can't play the sound effect because half of our listeners will be elated and half will be crushed, but I unplugged the microphone the other day to plug in a printer, and when I plugged the microphone back in, everything reset, and I haven't been able to figure out how to set everything back up the way I had it to make the soundboard work. So I can't use the soundboard right now because even if you folks heard it, John wouldn't hear it, and there's no fun if John can't hear it. So we're... at least for the immediate future, until I can get this figured out, we are without a soundboard. I should have written all the settings down, but silly me, I thought it would last forever. I didn't know it would reset as soon as I unplugged the microphone. So we have no Mira. We have no It's Time for Listener Questions. Let's just go right into listener questions. What do we got?
Really sorry to hear about that sound effect thing.
I knew there was probably a party at your house yesterday after you heard that.
And there was great rejoicing.
Yeah.
So we have one question for an email from William Carroll, who says, gentlemen, with summer in full swing here in the Music City, my daily interactions are filled with folks as ready as I am for the start of college football, albeit for different teams. One of these poor guys is a Georgia Tech fan. And in passing earlier this week, I bemoaned the non-existent status of our team's once historic rivalry.
Yes.
I'm in my 20s, and I've seen two games of that clash, 03 and 05, but the stories of the Rec Tech traditions and games have filtered down to me from my father, uncle, and grandfather, who all attended Auburn. Each year around this time, the future games against non-conference opponents are announced, and I'm always disappointed that Jay Jacobs and company failed to deliver. Consider our neighbors to the northeast in favor of Northwest Louisiana State or the Fighting South. is Georgia Tech just currently an unattractive non-conference opponent, or has Clemson now replaced GT as Auburn's penultimate ACC rival and Rec Tech reduced to a dusky scrap heap of nostalgia? He says, bring back Rec Tech, win from Nashville.
He's challenging Reynolds for eloquence there. Yeah, I mean, I miss it. I was at the 03 and 05 games, and I remember the 86 and 87 ones. I was not at either one of them, but I was an Auburn student during those.
I was at the 87 game in Bobby Dodd Stadium at Georgia Tech.
That was the Andre Bruce game.
That was the Andre Bruce game. I was in the Georgia Tech student section wearing a shirt that said Rec. The Tiger Rag shirt that said Rec Tech
In Hotlanta.
So I mean, I'm from Atlanta, and a lot of my friends went to Georgia Tech and some of my family members. So I want the rivalry to come back. I want to play Georgia Tech, not every year, but, you know, it'd be nice to have a two-game series once a decade or something. I'd be happy with that. So we're at that point where, you know, I'm ready to play. It's been since 05. I'm ready to play them again home and home. We don't need to do a neutral site thing. We can play in home stadiums. It's okay. You know, because a game at Georgia Tech would be a really good game for a lot of Auburn fans in Atlanta.
Remember, the original plan was 03, we played them in the Georgia Dome 50-50. 04, we play them in Georgia Tech. And 05, we play them in Auburn. And ended up, we played them in 03 in Georgia Tech. We moved it up and then didn't play in 04. And then played them 05 in Auburn. So, yeah, I was at the 03 game in Tech. I bought season tickets to Georgia Tech that year so that I could get into that game. I was sitting in the Georgia Tech season ticket area. And somebody's like, dude, you're in the wrong area. I'm like, no, I got Georgia Tech season tickets. He's just like, his jaw fell open. That was so funny. I put all the others on eBay, but I kept the Auburn one, so, you know. I made a profit off of it. It was good. But, that's a big rivalry. It needs to come back. It's It's long overdue. I would much rather play them than Clemson. It was nice to play Clemson once or twice, but I'm so done with them now. And why is it that whenever we play some out-of-conference team, it's when they're having their greatest run in history? It happened with USC. It happened with Clemson. I mean, I know there's somebody else I'm forgetting. It happened with South Florida. They had 1 year that South Florida was worth a flip, and we played them and lost. I mean, and there's more than that, but... You know, I mean, it's like when we play somebody, they suddenly rise up and have. You know, I was going to say, you know, we
played Southern Miss with Brett Favre.
We played Southern Miss with Brett Favre. When we play Washington, of course, yeah, Washington's been poop for the last 20 years, and now we're getting ready to play them next year, and they're in the freaking playoffs. Come on. What is the deal? Why do we only play teams when they get good? We should be playing, you know, USC last year like Alabama did, or.
Notre Dame last year.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. We're still going to play them in like 2026 or something probably when they're going to be really awesome again. I'm sure Oregon will be all back to being good again by the time we get them in a couple of years in Texas, you know.
That's right.
So, but yeah, no, I'm all in favor of the Tech game. That's a good out-of-conference game. We might as well. If Clemson or Tech are our penultimate ACC opponent, does that make Florida State our ultimate opponent?
I'd rather play Florida State again before we play Clemson again after this year.
So. And that's saying something because they are at their height right now.
No, but I bring it. Okay, this is my thing about I want Florida State. Okay, bring it. Bring it. Let's do a home and home right now, Florida State. I would be delighted. Neutral site, fine. In Atlanta. Let's go.
I'm really looking forward to Dragon Con weekend this year because I'm going to be sneaking peeks at Alabama, Florida State during whatever panel I'm on. And, of course, a year from now, I get to do the whole third time in like 5 years, the dance where I try to get tickets and sneak out of my panel and go over to the stadium. It'll be a different stadium this time to watch us play Washington. So it's like every other year I have to tell the Dragon Con people, I'm fully available for all activities you need me for, except Saturday afternoon. You know, I have I feel a migraine coming on about 3:05 to 6:30 on Saturday. So, you know, they all know by this point. It's like a running joke with them. But, last thing around the SEC. We had the big shakeup with Hugh Freeze. Does that mean the triumphant return of Les Miles to the SEC West, John?
You're joking, but it could. I mean, I think if the interim coach does a good job, they'll try and keep him. But otherwise, they're going to be on the market for a big name coach next year.
He didn't go anywhere, did he? Isn't he just like hanging out?
Yeah, he's unemployed. But I mean, he's also like, you know, 65.
Well, does Ole Miss want to go from the 21st century to the 17th in terms of football strategy?
No.
I just can't see this current Ole Miss team. I see Les Miles stepping in saying, all right, fellas, we're going to run the fullback and the tailback up the middle every play. And this Ole Miss team is like, we're done. 0-12.
Well, but
we're toast.
I think with the talent they have, Les Miles would win games there. But he's not going to win the SEC West there.
No.
Running the same kind of stuff he did at LSU. So. No, I don't think they're going to go there. I think they're going to, you know, especially if they get hit with the NCAA hammer, they're going to have to look for somebody who's a builder who's going to be there long term and try and build them back up.
Yeah, are they going to go raid Arkansas State again or something? I mean, that's where they went to got Freeze.
They'll go get some younger up and coming coach and give him a 10-year contract to say build us. You know, backup because they're gonna get hit with a hammer. They're gonna, you know, all this current wave of top recruits is gonna graduate in a year or so. The last of them, and they're gonna drop back to the bottom of the pack, I think.
Could Ole Miss pull a 1993 Auburn and actually do pretty well this year, kind of rallying around their offensive line coach guy and everything?
They could. They have a good. I mean, Shea Patterson's a good young quarterback, so they could really do that.
And. How many minutes has Hugh Freeze spent on the telephone the last couple of days with Gus?
I don't know. None, probably.
I just feel like Gus probably was there for him, you know, kind of shoulder to lean on, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Buy him some hash browns at Waffle House. Hugh, you go ahead and get them smothered and covered. There, I'll cover it. I got it for you. It's all right. It's special. All right. Any last thoughts about Auburn football before we wrap up our abbreviated little show? Understanding, folks, we have big shows coming soon. As soon as John and I get back from vacation, we're going to start getting going on the infamous barbecue SEC East and West previews, and we got to come up with the themes for this year. We've had themes over the last couple of years, and we need to come up with a new one for this one. So we'll be working on that, but we have to figure out who's going to win the East, who's going to win the West, and all that, and do our breakdown. So, any last thoughts about the SEC and Auburn football before we wrap up for tonight?
No, other than I'm optimistic, I'm excited, but I'm trying to keep it in check at this point.
Yep.
You're trying not to watch too much old games and read too much about stuff right now. Just kind of enjoy the off season while we can, because then it'll be gone and you'll go, man, I wish I had that Saturday to do something else, because it's going to be football season, go, go, go. So,
guess what game I watched earlier this week on YouTube?
What?
The 2009 West Virginia Rain game. I hadn't watched it in a while, and that's just a fun game to watch.
It's a great game.
And at one point, it was like 17-7 West Virginia, and you're thinking, man, Auburn's done. We're not going to come back from that. Then you remember how that 09 and the 010 teams both had a way of coming back. Here's something kind of funny. Last thing I'll say for tonight. It was just dawning on me when I was watching that. I was thinking most of the players on that 09 team would end up having a national championship ring. And I was thinking, people that have Auburn national championship rings, Nico Thorpe and Mario Fannin, people that don't, Carlos Rogers and Cadillac Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing how team sports work?
It's true.
That's amazing. Nico Thorpe, national championship ring. Carlos Rogers, no. That's pretty mind-blowing. Let me just take a quick moment to thank our sponsors at Patreon, because you guys keep us on the air. We've added a couple more lately. In fact, let me, as I always do, run through our list of people to thank. We always thank Nicholas Cottrell up front. We have our newest patron, Chris Thrash. Recently, we added Phil Amthor of WeHaveDonuts.com. Very nice. Very good. And then, of course, David Medinas, Mark Squire, Dave Powell, Jared Albrick, Rich Reimer, Michael Kirshner, Bill Matthews, Joey Miller, and Matthew Wagstaff. So all you guys are very, very much appreciated, and we hope to keep adding people. So just go to www.patreon.com/VanAllenPlexico, or you can just go to patreon.com and search for Van Plexico. And it's basically the White Rocket account, where our network brings in whatever support funding. We're like the PBS of podcasting. We rely on people like you. We don't get a government grant. We rely on people like you. All right. I guess our time is up, and we thank you for yours. Like I say, we'll be back in about 2 weeks or so with our first, I guess we're getting ready for the preview. So, John, War Eagle.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
So what becomes of?
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Go to bed.